Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And a warm word of welcome to the house of the Lord today. It's good to see each and every one that's gathered out with us. And we do welcome you in the Saviour's name. We pray that the Lord will bless us as we're in his house today. Those that are visiting as well, we give you a special welcome. Pray that the Lord will bless you as you're amongst us even today. And to our online audience, wherever you are, may the Lord bless you as you tune in to our service. Let me just go through the announcements. At this time, we remind you that this afternoon we have a special meeting at 3:30 marking the 40th anniversary of the church building here. It was on the 15th of May in 1982 that the doors opened of this church, and we want to gather this afternoon to give thanks to God for how his hand has been upon this building and indeed this work over the many years. And we're looking forward, as the Reverend Greer will be coming to minister in the Word of God, our young people will be singing at the service this afternoon. So do make that effort to come back, and do even be here. And I invite and encourage others in as well. And if you can be here for three for a season of prayer, I know it's a very quick turnaround, but even if you're here, we'll meet for prayer at 3 p.m. in the upper room. There's no evening service because of the afternoon one, but on Wednesday night we'll be meeting for prayer meeting and for Bible study at 8 p.m. here in the church. And we'll continue our series in the valleys in Scripture. And this particular Wednesday evening, we're coming to the Valley of Eshcol. So do make that effort, young and old alike, to come to the place of prayer and to the Bible study every Wednesday evening. Can we say to the ladies that we have the ladies' meeting on Thursday evening of this week at 8 p.m. They're rearranged, of course, from previous. And all of the ladies, young and old alike, are welcome and encouraged to come along this Thursday evening. Mrs. Karen Murray, the minister's wife of our brother, the Reverend Samuel Murray, he's a minister in Port Avoca. Mrs. Karen Murray will be along to give a special word of testimony. So ladies, come along to have that time of fellowship together. And as I say, young and old alike, there is no age restriction. All ladies are welcome to come and do even come and have that fellowship. And there'll be a supper afterwards, as we mentioned before. You don't need to bring anything this time. There's a couple of ladies who are covering it, but do come along and have the fellowship. Then, on behalf of Consider Christ, we remind you that the next outreach into Cavan and Monaghan is this Saturday, and if you'd like to be involved in that, then do contact the Reverend James Porter, and he'll be delighted even to have you going along and helping. There's always buses going from this area down, and there's always spaces on them, and so if you're free this Saturday, do go along and give that help in the outreach. Our service is next Sunday, commencing with the Sabbath school in the morning at 10:30, and then the service is 11:30 and 7 p.m., and I'll be here in the will of the Lord to conduct both of those services. For the members of committee in session, Tuesday the 24th of May, do remember to keep aside even for a meeting on that date. Can we mention that the offering for our sister Norrie McAfee and our deputation there during the week came to a total of £473. And we thank you in the Saviour's name and on her behalf for that fantastic offering for her. And we do, as always, pass that money completely on to the mission board for our sister on the field. Do continue to remember her. As she mentioned, she'll be returning to the land of Uganda this week for a number of weeks, and then she'll be coming home again. But do pray for her as she returns, along with the Reverend and Mrs. Jonathan Crean, to cover that work for the next number of weeks. Pray that the Lord will bless them. There is the cards in the front porch. Please make sure you get one if you didn't on Wednesday evening. They're out there. And the magazines are there as well. If you haven't got your latest magazines of the Vision, Let the Bible Speak, please do take them with you as well. And then just one final announcement. Can we mention for your prayers that there is a number of gospel missions commencing today? And certainly our brethren in the various churches would value your prayers. There's a two-week gospel mission commencing today in Newton Ards with the Reverend Baker, Reverend Higgison, and there's also a mission commencing in Dundonald with, on behalf of Sandown Congregation, with the Reverend Garth Wilson. So do pray for these missions, that the Lord will bless the gospel outreach, the gospel witness, and even through it that precious souls will be saved. Psalm 121 we're going to commence our worship with. The page is 120. Psalm 121, I to the hills will lift mine eyes, from whence doth come mine aid. The Psalm 121 will stand after the introduction, please. Let's still ourselves in God's presence. Every head, every heart bowed before the Lord. Our Father and our God in heaven, we bow before thee. And oh God, how it thrills our hearts even in the singing of that psalm together to consider afresh how great our God is. A God who never slumbers. A God who never sleeps. A God who is in control of all things. A God who is sovereign. A God who is everlasting. A God who is from all eternity unto all eternity. A God who is infinite in power and wisdom and holiness and righteousness, goodness and truth. A God who saves. And a God who keeps his people. We thank thee that each and every one that is saved by the precious blood of Christ, we rejoice this day because we are safe. There's never one can pluck us up out of the hand of the Lord. There's never one that can snatch us away from his grasp and from his keeping. Oh, Father, we are safe forevermore, and we praise thee for it. We praise thee for ever setting thy love upon us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We praise thee, O God, for what thou hast done for so many, even in our congregation today, for every blessing that thou hast bestowed upon us individually, for every blessing that thou hast bestowed upon us collectively, for every blessing that thou hast bestowed even upon this congregation. And Father, as we meet this day to give thanks and praise even for the 40 years of the church meeting together in this building, Lord, we can look back and even the memories that have been shared with us, and Lord, the experiences that we have had in this congregation, we can look back and we can raise Ebenezers. We can say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. For it is by the grace of God that this church is here. It's by the grace of God that this church came into being. It's by the grace of God that this church is here today. And we give thee all of the praise and all of the honor and all of the glory. We thank thee for this work. We thank thee for every faithful child of thine who meets together in this place. O God, for the work that has been done here over the many years, for souls that have been saved. Lord, in the beginning, in the early years, in the middle years, and right up to date, we praise thee for every soul. We praise thee, O God, that thou hast not lost any of thy power to save. We thank and praise thee for this. We pray that even in this day, O God, as we give thanks and praise unto thee, that other souls will be saved in this building, that other individuals will be reached with the glorious gospel, will be plucked as brands from the burning, and saved unto Jesus Christ. Lord, remember us this day. Bless, we pray thee, the work of this church. We do thank thee and praise thee for the Sabbath school. We thank thee, O God, for every child that comes under the teaching of thy word every Sabbath day. Continue to bless. Bless thy servants. Bless, O God, the children that hear thy word every week. And, O God, it is the prayer of the teachers, it is the prayer of the congregation as a whole, that those little ones will be won to Jesus Christ. That early in life, each one of them will put their faith and trust in Christ, that they will turn from their sin, that they will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will be saved. Lord, remember us this day. Remember, O God, even now in these moments together this morning, we pray that thou wilt bless each one as we gather together to worship, to praise. That thou wilt, O God, settle our hearts and our minds, and, O God, even work within us and speak to us, even through the reading of thy word and the preaching of thy word. O God, that thou wilt minister to hearts, that thou wilt work within each and every individual, that thou wilt build up thy children, that thou wilt encourage them, that thou, O God, wilt draw them ever closer unto thyself. Maybe there be one, O God, amongst us, young or old, that has grown cold, that isn't where they once were. O Father, that thou wilt work within them, that thou wilt draw them back, that thou wilt, O God, renew unto them their first love. Father, remember the unsaved. Lord, we pray for mercy. We pray for the grace of God to be shown even unto them. We pray that they will experience, even in the opening of their hearts this day, as Letty experienced it at the riverside, that there will be those within this congregation today, that their hearts will be opened, that they will be drawn unto thyself. Lord, bless, we pray thee, in these days. We think of every need in terms of the physical needs of the congregation. Lord, thou knowest each one. Thou knowest the particular needs that there are. Thou knowest the great interventions that are needed even by thy hand. Lord, come, we pray thee. Work in a wonderful way. Do, O God, even work within individuals that amazes the doctors and nurses that are caring for them. Remember our elderly. Remember those no longer able to join with us. Lord, bless them. Be near to them. Those in nursing homes, Lord, undertake for their needs. Lord, be unto each one all that they would need in these days. Lord, bless us, we pray thee. Glorify thy Son. O God, we come together to see Christ. We come together to meet with him this day. Lord, we ask thee that the Lord of the house will make himself known afresh to us. Hear and answer prayer. Bless, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 371 is our next item of praise this morning. The hymn 371, My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. 371, we'll stand after the introduction, please. Psalm 138, we come together this morning to read. Psalm 138 bears a simple inscription, a psalm of David. Verse 1, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord. when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning. So much of this psalm ties in with what we're considering today. We're coming in the book of Ruth to consider the time when Boaz met Ruth, and we're coming to consider the start of the love that there is even between Boaz and Ruth, and the picture that it is between Christ and his church. And even as you go through this psalm, how much there is love even being shown by the psalmist toward the Lord for what the Lord has done for him. And of course, everything that was done for him was out of the love of God in the first place. And what a loving God we have. What a merciful God. What a kind and a good God. May we never forget that. May we never take it for granted. The love of God even towards his people. God so loved us that he gave his only son for us. What a God. What a love there is even from God to his people. And may in return there be that love from our hearts towards the Lord. And even as the psalmist says, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. He gives his all because he loves the Lord with his all. We're going to sing together now the hymn 388. Keeping with that theme of love, 388, loved with everlasting love, led by grace that love to know, Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me, it is so. Remain seated for the first three verses, and then we'll stand for the verse 4, please. Let's stand together. The book of Ruth in the chapter 2. The book of Ruth in the chapter 2. Certainly this book has been a blessing to me personally since we've entered into it together. Every week as we come to the study to look, to dig into it, I often think, right, I'm going to get further than what I get. I had 3 points for today. We're only doing 2, so I'm going to have to leave number 3 and try and add it on with the next week's, because this is a book which just keeps on giving. And I'm excited every week to be in it and to study. I love to come and preach it because so much of this book is the grace of God. It's a love that God has for us. We're coming this morning to consider when Boaz met Ruth. Great love story. And I trust this morning as we look at it together that we will see the love that Christ has for his people. I'm going to read from the chapter 2, the verse 4, down to the end of verse 16. Boaz, behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over his reapers, whose damsel is this? The servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is a Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap. Go thou after them, have I not charged them? Or have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? When thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. And she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes? Thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger. Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thy hither and eat of the bread. Dip thy morsel in the vinegar. She sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn. And she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. When she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them and rebuke her not. Amen. May the Lord bless his word once again to our hearts this morning. When Boaz met Ruth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bow before thee with thy precious word open before us. We do, O God, rejoice in the truth of thy word. We rejoice, O God, in the freshness of it. Yes, this is an old book, but yet it's ever new even to us. We thank thee that it is a book that which we can come to and we can learn even new things from it. The Lord can reveal even by his Spirit new things to our minds, to our hearts. I pray that that is the case even today. As we come around thy word this morning, that thou would once again minister to us. That thou would reveal Christ to us even in this passage. That thou would speak, O God, to every heart. And Father, that thou would reveal even that love that God has for his people. Encourage thy people through thy word this morning. Strive with those that are not as they should be. Work within them. And glorify Christ in our midst. In Jesus' name. Amen. One of the most exciting and interesting points of information about a couple who fall in love, not so many people, especially ladies, I'm sure, but even some men as well, enjoy to hear, is the moment of how the two individuals met. Of how it came to be that this couple, this man, this woman, came together, how they came to fall in love. The question is often asked, well, was it love at first sight? And for one person in the couple may say, yes, it was. The other one, well, I needed a bit of convincing. And even whenever a couple comes to the wedding day and as the engagement is there and as they're coming to the marriage itself, so often the question, the information that is desired even from them is, how did you come together? What was the circumstances in which God brought you together with your spouse, with your fiancé? How was it to be that the Lord brought you into contact one with the other? Even in Scripture, there are times and certain relationships which the Spirit of God gives us an insight into. The moment whenever the man and the woman first meet and fall in love together. In the very first couple that are ever recorded in Scripture, we have that detail brought to us. Genesis chapter 2, the verses 21 to 25, you have recorded how God created Eve out of the rib of man, out of Adam. Whenever Adam awakes from that deep sleep which God had placed him in, and he meets the woman for the first time, whenever he, as it were, he opens his eyes and he turns around, and there is the woman which God has created, that helpmeet for him. There is an immediate connection. There is an immediate love within Adam's heart for this woman. For from that very moment they're brought together, they never separate. Rather, Adam declares, even in the midst, and just as they're being brought together, and as he saw his wife for the very first time, he declares in verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. He has just met Eve for the first time. And yet already there is a desire, we will come together, we will be together, and we will never be apart. From the moment that they met, Adam understood the unity. And yea, Adam desired the unity with Eve. He never looked for another, he never longed for another. Eve was his heart. Eve, as it were, was the one that God had given to him. Eve was the one in whom he loved. I think as well of Genesis 24, verses 63 to 67. You have the moment whenever Rebekah comes to Isaac. Rebekah sees Isaac for the first time and Isaac sees her. Isaac has gone out into the field to meditate in the evening time and she has returned with Eliezer, the chief servant of Abraham. And she sees Isaac from afar, and whenever she sees him, she asks the question, who is this? Eliezer tells her, it is the master, it is the Lord. It's Isaac. She covers her face and she comes down off the camel. She covers herself with the veil. In verse 67 of that chapter, it tells us, Isaac brought her into his mother's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. That moment that they came together, even there, as she was introduced to him for the first time, there was an immediate connection, there was an immediate admiration, there was an immediate love one with the other, there was an immediate desire for the unity, the two became one, and he loved her. You come to Ruth chapter 2, you're coming to the beginning of the love story between Boaz and Ruth. We're given the full account here in Scripture, right from the moment that they meet, right through their courtship, right up to the time of their marriage, and even how the Lord blesses them with the family, the descendants that would come. It's all recorded in this little book. But it begins with that moment when Boaz met Ruth. Two things I want to leave with you this morning. Firstly, the verse 5, we see the focus. The focus. Boaz, he says unto the servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Boaz had come to the field and he had greeted his reapers. There was that exchange, the Lord be with you, the Lord bless thee. And then Boaz's eyes falls upon one lady. Out of all of the reapers and all of the workers within that field, as they're there gathering, as they're there working to bring in the harvest, Boaz's eyes fall upon one. And from that moment, his eyes come upon Ruth. He never takes his eyes off her. Now the harvest, now the busyness of the season, it's all peeled into the background. It's all, as it were, been an afterthought. It's now at the back of his mind. He's no longer considering the harvest. He's no longer considering the workers. His eyes and his thoughts are upon one. Who is this? And even whenever he receives the response in verse 6. The chief reaper says to him, it is a Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. Notice the response. He receives a double emphasis on Moab. This is a Moabitish woman from Moab. This is really pressed upon him by the chief reaper. There's a double emphasis. This is an enemy. Moab was an enemy of the children of Israel. Moab was a country, a people that were against Israel and against the Israelite. And the chief reaper has enforced this twice. It is a Moabitish woman and she is from Moab. And yet Boaz can't take his eyes off her. Boaz does not take away any desire or any thoughts or any positivity that is going from him towards her. There is no repulsion even by the statement that she is a Moabitish woman. Nothing can deter or detract Boaz's focus from being on Ruth. He saw her before she ever saw him. He knew her before she ever knew him. He loved her before she ever loved him. He knew all about her. You see that even in the verse 11, because whenever he speaks to her, he says, it hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done. He had a complete understanding, he had a complete knowledge of who Ruth was. Even before he ever saw her, even before he ever met her, Boaz knew everything about her. What a picture that is of the gospel. Before we ever know God, God knows us. Before we ever come and even see God, God has already saw us. Before we ever love God, God loves us. You think of the relationship between Christ and his bride. Christ knew all about his people before they ever knew one thing about him. 2 Timothy 1 and the verse 9, it says, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, before all of creation ever took place, the Lord already knew us. Before anything was formed in this world, God already knew us. God's love was already set upon us. There was never a moment in all eternity past, all of the millennia of years that there was never a moment when the Lord didn't love us. The Lord didn't know us. Christ loved us before we ever loved him. That's what it says, 1 John 4, the verse 19. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. Romans 5, the verse 8. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The word commendeth, it means to manifest, it means to show forth. God showed forth, he demonstrated his love towards us before we ever knew him, before we ever loved him. God already loved us. Boaz loved Ruth first. Boaz knew all about her. Boaz showed forth that love and all that he did for her. Boaz is the one who took the initiative. If Boaz had not went to Ruth, Ruth would never have went to Boaz. Ruth was there working. She was there gleaning. She had not even met the Lord of the harvest. She had appeared at the field in the morning. Can I come after your reapers? Can I glean? Can I lift the little fragments, the little scraps? She did it on her, she was doing it on her own. She never met Boaz, and she had no desire to meet Boaz. She simply had a desire to lift scraps. But Boaz saw her. Boaz loved her. Boaz came on to her to meet with her. Boaz made all of the moves towards Ruth. So too it is with salvation. We were dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2 tells us. We were without strength, Romans 5 and 6 tells us. We were sinners, Romans 5 and 8 tells us. We were the enemies of God, Romans 5 and 10 tells us. But God set his love upon us. You think of it, we were on the mind in the prayers of Christ before the cross. We see that in John 17. We were on the mind of Christ on the cross. Why? Because we have ever been in the heart of Christ. God's loved us. What a wonderful Savior. Even as the hymn writer says, "Is Jesus my Jesus?" What a love there is. What a sacrifice he has made for us. What attention he has given towards us. Christ left the splendors of glory to come down into this world to redeem a people unto himself. Even before we ever knew him, God knew us. Before we ever loved him, God loved us. Before we ever had a desire towards God, God's desire was already towards us. God loved us. Christ died for us. And the Spirit brings us onto him. His focus is even upon us. But then secondly and finally, I want you to see this morning, not only was there the focus, but there was the fellowship. Because verse 8 and 9, and then again verse 14. Boaz's desire is constantly to have Ruth at his side. He says, "Go not to glean in another field. Neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. When thou art athirst, go unto the vessels, drink of that which the young men have drawn." The verse 14. Then you have the time at dinner time, at lunchtime. She sat beside the reapers, and he, Boaz, reached her the parched corn, and she did eat. From that moment that Boaz saw her, Boaz wanted her with him. He never wanted her to leave. He entreated her, don't go near another field. Don't leave my field. Don't leave my sight. Stay fast. Abide fast with my maidens. Stay in this field. He wanted her to be with him every day. It wasn't good enough for Boaz to look across the fields and to see her in some other field. It wasn't good enough to see her from afar. Boaz's desire was, you be with me, you be here every day. You be in my field, working amongst my people, with me. I will be here, please be here. When it came to lunchtime, he sat down beside her. He hands her the food. What a picture that must have been to the other reapers. You think of all of the reapers that are in that time. You think of all of the maidens, the widows. And it comes to lunchtime and they're all taking that break and they're all sitting down. And here comes the Lord of the harvest and he sits down with them. He comes around the same table, as it were, with all of the reapers, with all of the maidens. He doesn't have a table for the Lord of the harvest. He doesn't have a higher and a better table with the finery out upon it. He comes down to their level. He sits at their level. And he doesn't look just to the chief reapers. He looks right to the very lowest of the low. He looks to the Moabitish damsel, the stranger, the widow, the very lowest in society. And he sits with her. And he reaches her the food to feed her. I mean, you think of it, she was of no importance or benefit. She wasn't even unique or uniquely gifted in any way. There were other widows, there were other strangers there, going in and out of the fields, lifting up the scraps as they were allowed to do. But Boaz comes down to this one. And he sits with this one. He passes her the food. His eyes are only on one. His desire, his attention is only for the one. And all of the other reapers are sitting round about eating their food. And the Lord of the harvest is only looking to one. Now, I believe that fellowship that we read off on the first day, I believe it would have happened on the second day. The third day, in the second week, in the third week, until all of harvest was brought in. Every single day, Boaz came to the field. He looked for Ruth. He sat down with Ruth. He handed Ruth the food. His desire was to be with her. His desire was to talk with her. His desire was to listen to her. His desire was to look upon her. You know, that's one of the great doctrines and truths of the scriptures and of God that is remarkable. The great God of infinity. The great God of all power, of all understanding, the great God of all grace, the great God of heaven and of earth desires to be in fellowship with his people. He desires to talk with them. He desires to hear them talk to him. He desires to look upon them. He desires to be with them. You find it continuously throughout the scripture. It was God who came to Adam and to Eve in the cool of the day. It was God who came to walk with them. His creation was all there. It was all good. It was all perfect in the garden. All of the animals were there. Everything was in its right place. And God came in the cool of the day to walk just with two of his creation, Adam and Eve. They never came to him. He came to them. The great testimony of Enoch was that he walked with God, fellowship, and was not, for God took him. Adam was the friend of God. What's that speaking of? Fellowship. Exodus 25 and the verse 8, Adam or Moses is given that instruction after they come out of the land of Egypt. God gives that instruction to Moses there in Exodus 25 and 8, make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. How many times when you go through the book of Exodus and Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then even into the books that follow, and even right up to the time of the temple being built, how many times do we not read of God descending into the tabernacle, the cloud descending? God came down to speak with Moses. The temple was built and finished and opened. What do we read of there in that passage in 2 Kings 8? God, the glory of God filled the house. God descended. What do we read off with Jesus Christ promising his disciples? He says, lo, I am with you always. Fellowship. The eternal desire of God is for eternal fellowship with his people. You can go to John 14 and 3. You can go to Revelation 21 and 3. You can consider 2 Corinthians 6:16, 1 Thessalonians 4:17. They all present the same glorious truth. We will ever be with the Lord. The Lord will ever be with us. Fellowship. Each and every one for whom Christ has died. Each and every one whose salvation was purchased. Each and every one that he has chosen unto himself, that he has set his love upon, he desires to be with. My, what a wonder. When you consider who we are, just as Ruth, she came and she says to Boaz in the verse 10, why have I found grace? Who am I? I'm just a stranger and a widow from a foreign land. I'm an individual that came from a land of your enemies. Why do you find grace? Why have I found grace in your eyes? Why have you set your eye and your heart upon me? Surely each and every one of us can say that before the Lord. Why? Why, O Lord, do you love me? Why, O Lord, did you choose me? Why have you given me all of the kindness and the grace and the mercy? To think that the great God of heaven loves us. Desires to be with us and for us to be with him. To think of how far Jesus Christ came to buy us back. He was willing to give his all to save us, that we might be ready and washed and sanctified to be with him. What a wonder. What a mercy. The more that you think about that, then the more amazing Revelation 3 and 20 is. Revelation 3 and 20, it says, behold, this is Christ speaking. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, will sup with him, and he with me. Now that's been preached as a gospel text. In context, that is to the believer. As I said, you think of how far Christ came to save us. You think of the great love of God towards us. And yet Christ has to testify, there are some individuals' hearts, and I am now being pushed outside, that I am outside the door, knocking, saying, please, can I come in? God's people. Those that have experienced the grace of God and salvation, and yet have grown cold, taken their eyes off the Lord and looked upon the things of the world again, and bit by bit they've pushed the Lord and pushed the Lord and pushed the Lord until he's outside the door. He's standing at the door saying, please, can I come in? If you open your door, I'll come in, I'll sup with you. Why is it today Christians have pushed the Lord out? Why is it today there are Christians that have shut themselves away from the Lord and away from the things of God? Why is it today there are Christians whose hearts once were filled with the love, and once they burned with that energy, that desire, I love my Savior and I want to be with him. I want to experience all that Christ has to give me. I want to be there. I want to read his word. I want to be in his presence. I want to pray to him. I want to come together with God's people and worship, praise, and thanksgiving unto him. And now they're Christians and you nearly have to drag them to come. Come in the morning, not at night. Once came to the prayer meeting. Once they prayed. Now they're silent. Now they're at home. Once they loved the fellowship with God's people. Now they're never here. Boaz wanted Ruth at his side. She responded positively. Boaz had come to Ruth. His entreating of Ruth was, Ruth, don't leave. You come to my field every day. Don't you go to another field. Ruth never went to another field. They sat down at lunch. Boaz handed her the food. She took it from his hand. She wouldn't take it from anyone else. She only took what Boaz gave her. She went home that night to her mother. All she could talk about was Boaz. It was the best day of her life, because she met Boaz. She experienced his love, his grace, his kindness towards her. And I guarantee you this, come day two, she never thought about going anywhere else. She says, I'm going to Boaz's field. Day three, week two, week three, she never left him. Oh, child of God, each one that the Lord has saved, God's desire is to have fellowship with you, to walk with you, to talk with you, to listen to you. Where's your desire? What's your desire? What about you, unsaved? The Lord of the harvest is here this morning. Christ is always in the midst of his house. He's promised, two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. Christ is here. Maybe unknown to you, maybe even unknown to all of us, God has already set his love upon you. From all eternity past, God knew you. God's love was set upon you. Let me ask the question, unsaved, will this be the day when you come and respond to him? Will this be the day when you come and experience the grace of God? Boaz met Ruth. For Ruth, it changed everything. You come to Christ, let me say this without a shadow of a doubt in my heart. You come to Christ, it'll change everything. The old things pass away. All things become new. Up until that moment, humanly speaking, Ruth was a stranger and a widow and nobody. She went home that night different, because now she was under the love, the protection, the blessing of the Lord of the harvest. Not one was allowed to touch her. Not one was allowed to throw her out. Everyone was commanded, you take care of her. You watch out for her. You provide for her. Every day Boaz came to see her. What love. And yet that's nothing compared to the love that Christ has for his people. Are you enjoying his love today? You come to church this morning rejoicing, God loves me. Did you come with a heart of love for him? Did you come with that desire today? I want to go and praise and give thanks to God because he loves me. Because he saved me. Because he keeps me. Oh, what a blessing it is to experience the love of God. You can say with the hymn writer, Jesus' love is something wonderful. Nothing like it. Child of God, rejoice in it. Sinner, come and experience it. It's amazing. And say with the Queen of Sheba, the half has not been told. It's only when you'll experience the love of God, you'll know how marvelous it is. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bow before thee. We thank thee for the great love that God has. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We thank and praise thee this day, O God, for ever setting thy love upon us. We thank and praise thee for salvation. We rejoice, O God, that thou dost love us with an eternal love. There is that desire to have thy people with thyself for all eternity. Father, encourage thy children even in these days. Oh, that we will love thee more. Oh, that our hearts will burn ever stronger and ever hotter for thee. And oh, for the sinner this day I pray that thou, O God, will open up their hearts and draw them unto thyself. Lord, bless us now as we separate one from the other. Take us to our homes in safety. We pray for thy blessing even this afternoon. Oh, that thou will come in our midst. Breathe upon us.